We're out here on the streets. Getting away from here. That piano was really cool, and I bet some people will do some really crazy shit with that stuff. It's a lot of work, though. It's a lot of mind-numbing, slow work. And, like, I get why the instructions come at you so slowly, but at the same time, the presentation of the instructions is, like, really slow. I probably would have gotten further if I had been a little more careless with punching the cardboard out of the stuff. Like, I think early on I was really afraid of fucking it up, and was very slowly taking the pieces out of the panels. But as I got used to it and started moving a little faster, like, oh yeah, I probably should have just tried to speed build it the whole time. Also building it and slowly coming to the realization, it was like, oh no, the size restrictions are very serious. It does not, that is a real thing. It's not a It'll be really uncomfortable to, you know, it'll be harder to use if you're tall. Like, oh no, this is like not, this is probably not doable. One person in charge of instructions. Maybe that would like speed things up a little bit, but I don't think two people building that thing would be any faster. You know, yeah, I guess you, it would speed up a little bit if you had someone on the instructions. So, yeah, I'm starting to think, like, oh, can we tie extensions to the leg cables and arm cables and... like, what could I replace those backpack straps with? Pulley system is neat. It's inventive how it works, and it seems to work pretty well. Like, it's smooth on the pull and the retract, which is more than I thought it would be.
We're the Biker Boys. Got loud stereos on our bikes.
I wonder how many revisions those instructions went through, because they probably had to, like, write them and then bring in new people to build them for the first time, see where they fucked up, and go like, okay, we need to figure out how to address this, and how to address this, and how to address this, and rewrite the instructions and bring in a fresh set of people and see if they have any of the same issues or what issues they have, and, like, go through it probably for a pretty long time. Like, that aspect, it's impressive. Like, the whole thing's impressive. Like, you know. It's a really fucking wild thing. This motherfucker is... Here's a guy on one of these shitty electric rental scooters. Congratulations. Not even sure what that was. Startled the fuck out of me, though, whatever the fuck it was. See what this new music mix has to say. See what Apple has to say about some new shit.
Thank you.
Oh, okay. Apparently that's not gonna fucking play. Illustrated, nobody's illustrated, I kill a hater.
Liquid Todd, Ben Harvey, Mallory Lynn. How are you doing today?
I'm in shock, man. I just woke up. I'm in Melbourne, Australia. So I was one of the last ones to hear the news because my phone was off because I was trying to get some sleep.
Oh, wow. What time is it there?
It's morning here. It's already midday. So, and I woke up and my phone exploded. Like, I just think I've never seen so many messages from my management, my whole team, and everybody, you know, obviously is in shock, and I'm really lost for words. I'm sitting here at the airport, and I'm just staring, and I just can't believe, you know, this is probably the saddest day that dance music has ever had, you know? I'm lost for words. I mean, I knew him really well. He was I can't say he was a friend, because it's not like we call each other every day, but obviously there was a lot of respect for each other, and we called each other regarding a remix he did for me, and I found how incredibly passionate he was and how talented he was. I mean, there's no doubt that was a big thing. And we met each other at multiple gigs, and there was always big hugs and big respect, you know, mutually. And it's funny because I recently watched his documentary on Netflix, and I told everybody, including my mother, like, this is something you have to watch, because this is like the big pitfall for everybody. And I was really in shock when I watched that documentary. Like, he was struggling, obviously, with several things that bothered him, and it's just painful to watch, you know. But I think it's also a wake-up call for all DJs in the world to, you know, stand up and see that this must never happen again. This is so incredibly tragic. And of course, I want to say that my thoughts go out to his family, his relatives, his close friends. I mean, I can't even imagine how the pain must be for his family at this point. So I think that's the most important thing that we should say today. I think the whole dance music community reaches out to his family and close friends. I mean, this is just horrible, and I'm lost for words in regards to that.
Armin, do you remember the last time you saw Avicii and what you said to him?
I think the last time I saw him was at a gig where we both played, and it was something like "Good luck" and "How are you?" I mean, he was very well protected by his management, so it was hard to get to him. And he changed his number at some point, so we lost contact
really?
After that.
Before the process, yeah. Too. Like Mike said the same thing.
Wow,
that's interesting. Did he ever mention to you? Because we talked to a few other DJs throughout the afternoon, Cascade, Steve Aoki, and a lot of them have mentioned that he always mentioned before he took the stage, he always said he was nervous. Did you ever experience that with him?
Well, well, what I found strange is that the couple of times that I shared the stage with him, when he was playing either after me or before me, that he was always on his laptop till the last possible second before going on stage. And that is a sign that, you know, you are still finishing stuff. And it you know, he was always insecure about that, and it made me wonder, you know. But I couldn't get that close to him. I mean, like I said, we knew each other, but it wasn't like we were texting each other every day. I have to be honest about that. But that doesn't mean that we didn't have a huge amount of respect for each other. And I just didn't know him that well, but I did know that he was struggling because we shared the same management in the U.S., So I knew of him, and I knew that he was struggling with several issues. And of course, I informed what was going to happen, and I was glad that he actually stopped touring, because, you know, he looked really bad. You know, he looked at his face. Everybody was worried about him, and other DJs, you know, that I spoke also expressed their concerns, like, hey, you know, is he going to be okay? And recently, I saw pictures of him, and he was doing better. You know, he looked like he was doing well. You know, he was into photography and he was traveling the world, and it looked like he was having a good time. So that's why this news comes as a shock to me, because I thought that he made the right decision to stop touring for a while and focus on himself and making music. And yeah, I mean, like, again, I'm lost for words in that regard.
Yeah, his last Instagram post was from early April. It was in L.A., and it was a gorgeous shot of what I assumed to be his house, and it was an incredibly uplifting, positive message. So everyone seems to be incredibly surprised, and of course we don't know what happened. I'm interested by what you just said about he was on his laptop until the last moment, and that seems somewhat normal to me, because having met a lot of you producers and DJs, you're all perfectionists.
Some more than others. Mm-hmm.
But it seems to be what you're describing, and you know, Tiesto earlier said that he's incredibly insecure. It seems like he almost took it to a different level.
Yeah, well, I guess every DJ, no matter how big or how small, deals with a certain amount of insecurities. I mean, in 2010, I myself went to a coach, because I went through a very deep hole, because I couldn't stand all the criticism anymore that I was reading online. And I know how that the pressure can be huge, especially if you're a perfectionist. I mean, every artist is a perfectionist. You know, we all read everything that is being read or said about us. I mean, that is the truth. And yeah, I had a hard time dealing with that. And I took two steps back, and I realized that, you know, something my mom said to me, she said, you know, you can only do as good as you can do. You know, if you do your best, then that's the best you can do. If you can tell yourself, I work hard on this DJ set, I work hard on this production, I best of all. And Tim, simply, I guess Tim couldn't deal with that. Always insecure, and that's terrible if you're that insecure, you know, and then you need alcohol to do a performance on stage. I mean, I guess everybody deals with it differently, and I'm just sad that Tim had such a hard time dealing with it. But let's not forget, we don't know the facts, right? So
yes,
we don't want to speculate at this point. We don't know if that is the cause of his passing. I mean, I'm personally really curious what exactly happened there, because he, like I said, I think he was doing okay. So it's all, I mean, obviously we have to respect the wishes of the family and wait until we ever get, if we ever get further news about what happened. And I mean, it sounds to me it's a pretty strange location where he was. You know, I have a lot of questions.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. What was he doing in Oman? We're on the phone with Armin van Buuren talking about his appearance with Avicii on BPM Liquid Tide here with Mallory Lynn and Ben Harvey. You said you played with him. What was it like playing with him anyway? Was he playful on stage, or was he very serious?
No, he was very playful. He seemed like he wasn't having a lot of stress. If you looked at him, he was always very like, hey man, what's up? But you didn't get a deep conversation right before he went on stage. You know, then that showed me that, you know, all his focus was on his set and what he wanted to play. And he had a very unique sound. Obviously, he was extremely talented, and you know, he may be considered the Mozart of our time. You know, the Mozart of electronic music. Looking back on all the great music that he left us, I mean, it's a blessing. You know, I guess, and that's the beauty of it. I mean, yeah, he will be remembered for all the great tracks that he did. There's no doubt about it.
Wow. Armin van Buuren, thank you so much for calling in, and thank you so much for your honesty, and good morning over there in Australia. Wow.
I love the picture you put
thank
up
you
on
so
your
much,
love the picture you put on your Twitter page. It's you and Avicii and Geronimo being interviewed on Sirius XM in one of our tents.
Wow. Armin.
All right, guys. Well, thank you, and I wish you guys a lot of strength with this. And it's a horrible day for dance music, and I hope we can remember and think about the positive things that Tim left for us. So, and I'd like to leave it at that.
Thank you so much, Armin. Armin featuring Laura V. We play this all the time, the Avicii remix of Drowning. SiriusXM BPM. Thank you.
much. You've seen me on TV turn businesses around. I've been...
Lewis, Aretha Franklin, Artie Robbins.
We had a mutual love for Gary Glitter, and because Gary was playing that World Cup concert, we went to meet him together. This was before Gary's scandalous fall from grace. Right now, Joe Elliott is playing some of those 70s classics that inspired him on Songs from the Vault, Deep Track, Sirius XM 27. Right now, you're riding First Wave, he is in excess.
Thank you.
given him a forum. We had MVP on Tuesday, and MVP, you know, was talking about Alberto Del Rio and saying about, you know, he's a good friend of his, how he's helped him out, you know, even in business. Like, he talked about a shady promoter, you know, and Alberto Del Rio had his back and made sure he got paid. And he's always been good to us. But man, if I'm starting a wrestling company, I'm staying far away from this guy. And maybe it's not true, I don't know, but where there's smoke, there's fire, and I would probably stay away from him if I was booking a company or booking a show.
Just the past 2 years hasn't been good to him perception-wise. Let's look at it from an in-ring point of view. What standout match has Alberto El Patron had in the ring?
He hasn't.
But while he was in the WWE, he does have some matches that we remember. So he needs to get back in that ring and give us the performer, the wrestler, the fighter, Alberto El Patron, that we knew and loved in the WWE. He needs to kind of, you know, help his own perception out. And I think he can do it. I really do. And I'd like to see him back in there doing what him and his family have done best for so long, and that's professional wrestling.
Yeah, and you know, obviously the Paige stuff did not help him, especially with Paige back in the WWE and with the movie coming out and everything else. I mean, the perception right now of him is really bad. So you're right, the best thing to do is do what he does best, get in the ring, wrestle, and really show what he can do. I just don't know on what platform here in the States he's going to be able to do that. And unfortunately, it's really impacted what we're going to see with Impact at Redemption. But there are a few matches that I would like to see. There's a few matches that I think could be good. And I still think outside of Austin Aries, you know, I love Eli Drake. There are some guys that are on this show, that are on this card, that are on the Impact Wrestling roster, that could really, really shine if given the opportunity. But my days, Bully, of coming on the air and saying, give Impact Wrestling a chance, those days are long gone. I can't do it. I just can't. And Impact has given me every reason not to do that. I'll watch it. I'll watch Redemption on Sunday. The fact that Tommy Dreamer is going to be on the show is even more so making me want to watch. But I can't come on the microphone on this platform and say, give Impact Wrestling a chance. I've said it too many times, and I've shot myself in the foot.
If you had to build your company around any one particular guy or girl there, who would it be?
It would be Eli Drake.
Have they tried already?
They've put Eli Drake in good positions on that show. I don't think they've really pushed him like he should. I think he could be a top guy that you could really get behind. But
okay, Eli Drake, does he come across to you more as a babyface or a heel?
He could do both, but probably more as a heel.
Okay, so if he is a heel, if you believe he is a better heel, who is the babyface for him to work with? I already have the answer.
Eddie Edwards?
He's one. I'm going to give you that as a 1A, but I have a better answer for you right now for heel Eli Drake.
Who's that?
Tommy Dreamer. Tommy Dreamer. And I know why you're kind of breathing right now. You're like, I don't know. It's why? Because Tommy's older? Why? Because we've seen a lot of Tommy over the past 25 years? I bet you could put 75-year-old Terry Funk in there and it would work. Because 75-year-old Terry Funk still has emotional investment and love from the fans, and so does Tommy. You need to put guys in there with emotional investment. I don't care what kind of match Eli Drake can have with Tommy, because I know their match will be good, and that's all it needs to be. What needs to be great is their storytelling and their emotional investment. My point is, if you're going to build around heel Eli Drake needs a strong babyface to get heat on. Eddie Edwards was a good answer, but do you think Eddie Edwards can hang on the mic with Eli Drake?
No.
Can Tommy Dreamer?
Yes.
That was my answer.
It's a good one, too. 844-796-7874. Redemption on Sunday, Impact Wrestling, their pay-per-view. And, of course, Bully, as we go on, because we didn't really get an opportunity to really dive deep into it, is the superstar shakeup, especially how it's affected SmackDown in a positive way. And also at some point today, I want to get into NXT. Triple H had a press conference after TakeOver, and some things that he said I think really resonate that the nation feels is the same way they perceive pro wrestling. And of course, since it's a Falls Count Anywhere Friday, everything's on the table, Bully. And we'll get to the nation when Bully and I are back right here on Busted Open.
The globalist vision of pro wrestling has...
Like the whole thing just took me by surprise because I never thought that my music was going to be so big, and the whole thing was just crazy. It was kind of surreal, and all the other DJs have been like so nice from day one. So it's a very nice, the dance community is a very nice community. It's just all about good people and good vibes.
And tonight you're actually going to be taking the stage at the main stage, the Coachella stage, which is it surreal, or what is that like for you?
Yeah, it's definitely very surreal. I remember last weekend as well, I was so nervous, and then I got up on that stage and there's so many people. I didn't realize before I got on stage how big the stage is.
How even far back can you see? Like, can you see faces, or is it just like a sea of darkness? Because you're also at that like coveted when the sun has just gone down. It's just getting into the evening. It's getting, as we like, not, I'm not a youth, but like the youth like say like turned up. Mm. You're like the turning point of the festival.
Yeah, it's kind of just a sea of people. When it's so many, you can't really see the faces. But there's just people as far as I could see. So
right.
it was just crazy. It's so many people. And I had a great time on stage, and the crowd was great, and they were singing along, so.
That's important. There's also just sort of like a luxury for a DJ that, you know, a lot of times, artists and bands, they really have their set, they know what they're gonna do. You have the luxury of being able to like really change it up and doing whatever you want night to night. What can we expect for the set that we're actually gonna be broadcasting in a few?
Well, I have a couple of surprises. I usually bring the singers that I work with, so I'm bringing a lot of I'm bringing Justin Jester, I'm bringing Conrad for Firestone, I'm bringing Parson James, a couple of the new ones, and then I have, a couple of
new ones.
Yeah, like from my new album as well. So
also because, I mean, there are rumors. I don't want to like start rumors, but there are rumors that people have seen Ariana Grande on the grounds. Could she be possibly coming out?
We'll see you later.
Oh, you guys, the teasing. Obviously, I do want to ask you, well, because this is a very loving, you know, brother community in the EDM world, and we lost one of our greats this morning. We were so devastated to hear that Avicii had died, and obviously he played a huge role in your life and in your music, and I know this is probably hard to talk about, but I also just want to know from your space, how are you doing?
It's kind of hard to talk about, but it's just so sad.
I know, it's absolutely devastating.
Yeah, it's is one of my inspirations to music, my biggest inspiration to music. So it's just, yeah.
Great. Will there be some sort of tribute or something that you'll do for him tonight?
Yeah, I'll definitely. I'm going to play one of his songs at the end to honor him.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for spending time with us, and I'm so sorry for your loss, and to the community. He was truly a legend, and, you know, we're remembering him over on BPM throughout the evening as well. If you want to go over there and call in, please do, because it's a really beautiful community over there, and they're taking your calls, and they're there for you, and we're there for you as well. So, Caio, thank you for taking the stage tonight and helping us, because music is a way to heal, and I think this is really going to help the crowd tonight. So thank you for also spending time with us. I really appreciate it.
Of course.
Guys, we're going to let Caio go, and not too long from now, we'll actually be broadcasting his set live here, which we're super excited about. So stay here for more coverage of the Coachella Music and Arts Festival. It's weekend, too. We're doing it all the time here on Coachella Radio, Sirius XM Channel 29.
Wow. So that was Julia Cunningham live at Coachella with Caio. So yeah, as she said, we're broadcasting his set on Coachella Radio Channel 29. Did you?
Uneasy stomach. I don't know. I didn't eat anything weird. I don't think. Well, yeah, just feel a little off.
And I would have had Brian Cage win, and I would have gave him that mouthpiece that has Congo Kong. I would have gave him to Brian Cage and put him in a suit with the strap.
I mean, you know, that could have been a way to go. And Captain Keith, thank you so much for the phone call. I think they just want to give you a good match, and you know you're going to get a cool match with Aries, Pentagon Jr., and Phoenix. I think that's what they want to do, and then they're going to have to probably reset and figure out what they're going to do moving forward, because I'm sure they have a long-range plan with El Patron that they now have to scrap. And even watching to last night, Bully, the show itself, it was Frankenstein together, because I'm sure there was a lot of segments that were taped with El Patron, especially right before a pay-per-view. So it was really, really difficult to do. And I'm sure that's why we saw almost the full length of that match between Angle and Bobby Roode last night as well. But it also got me thinking this. Imagine, and I think we all can agree that wrestling was in a bit of a lull in 2011, 2012. It's definitely not as, wasn't hot then like it is right now. Imagine if TNA from 2011.
No, let me stop you right there. I don't agree with you.
Okay,
you know what? Because you're putting the whole business, you're saying that the whole business was in a lull. No, the WWE was in a lull. TNA was not. There was no lull in TNA in 2011, 2012, 2013, 14. So, let's be honest, the WWE may have been in a lull, but not TNA.
Okay, all right, but we would agree that WWE is the big monster when it comes to pro wrestling. It kind of guides that ship along. So, yeah, you're probably...
No, because WWE wasn't guiding the ship of TNA back in that day. They were drawing their own houses. They were guiding their own ship.
I agree, but I'm just looking at the entire perception of pro wrestling. Is pro wrestling now, in 2018, more popular and hotter than it was in 2011?
Yes.
Okay. So, I just imagine if TNA in 2011 was around right now, if you had that star power, the way that it was right now, imagine how much bigger that company would be in 2018.
I think about it all the time, just because of the what-ifs and the possibilities that have always been there. And I just want to go back to Captain Keith's call. I love his suggestion, because the three-way, I'm not interested in it, because I already know what I'm going to get emotionally before the match even happens. I love the Brian Cage versus Austin Aries dynamic. I don't know where they are storyline wise. Obviously, they couldn't get to that quick right now, but I do believe in the future, because Brian Cage is one hell of an athletic, jacked up dude who can do big man stuff. Plus, he can do some of that, you know, lucha type stuff. And Austin works very well with bigger guys. So that match, Gage versus Aries, that's something I would love to see, rather than this three-way that they had patched together.
And you know what? As you're talking about it, here's the thing. We had Austin Aries on not too long ago, and it's the Impact Wrestling World Championship. He took the heavyweight out of the championship because he says, look at him, look at his body type, he's not a heavyweight. Then you can have Cage come to the ring and want to bring that heavyweight back to the championship, and you have a similar dynamic in the story that was on with El Patron and Aries. Aries was saying that he was always the underdog. El Patron had everything handed to him. Now you can kind of have that same storyline as it, you know, Cage has that quintessential pro wrestling body, and, you know, he has the advantages because he has that body type. It would be a pretty cool story.
You just wrote a great TNA story. You don't even realize it, but as you're saying it, I can hear it play out. I can see it play out. Brian Cage looking down upon Austin because guys of his stature are now the majority of the wrestling business.
Yep.
And now Austin feels like he can just rip the word heavyweight away from the championship and bring it down and take away the prestige of the belt. No, Brian Cage is here to reclaim the heavyweight championship for guys like him that used to look like him back in the... You know, I totally get it. Good stuff, Dave. Maybe you should be a writer for TNA.
And you know what? If they want to hire me, give me a call. Here's the
interesting... So you'd go work there?
Yes, I would.
Would you have worked underneath Dixie Carter?
I would have worked... Oh, boy. Yes.
Yes, I just want to get into the wrestling business any way I can. I don't want to do this radio show.
The things sometimes that I say on the air and off the air need to be different. So my answer off the air would be different than what I would say on the air. But yes, I would work underneath.
Wait a minute. All I asked you is, would you work underneath Dixie Carter?
Yes, I would.
Okay, you'd be her employee.
I would do that.
Okay, that's all I was asking you.
Here's the thing. I would never give up Busted Open. And believe me, Chris Hamill, it has nothing to do with that, nor would I need it. Here's the thing. I would never give up Busted Open for that. I would never do that. Because, as you know, things can fall apart very, very quickly. Who knows? I could show up at the Impact Wrestling, and be fired day one. So I would never give up Busted Open. Busted Open's my baby. But if they're willing to have me be a consultant or maybe help out with something like that, I would do that.
Oh, my God, a consultant. You sound like Vince Russo.
I would never put all my eggs in the Impact Wrestling basket, I'll say.
No, they'd be cracked, so let's move on.
Okay, 844-796-7874. Whew, Dixie Carter. Let's go out to Mike in New Hampshire. Mike, what's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen. How are you guys today?
What's up, Mike?
Alright, so Dave, I know I told you I would call the other day to discuss your future I'm a Luck Record Guy t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I forgot to call and finish that conversation, so I was thinking was, I'm a Luck Record Guy, and on the back is your hand holding up for the hand cup.
The hand cup is extremely popular with the Busted Open Nation. I think we proved that at Barcadia in New Orleans. People love the hand cup. But at the same time, Mike, people also despise the hand cup. Tommy Dreamer despises the hand cup. So it could work either. You could have two shirts. You could have a shirt with the hand cup, and then you could have a shirt with, you know, the slash through the hand cup. That's two different shirt ideas.
And then there's another thing, too, about the Superstar Shake-Up. I know we're going away from TNA for just a couple minutes.
It was bound to happen.
I know it's bound to happen. I can tell. Anyways, when it comes to Raw and SmackDown, I understand that I watched it. SmackDown did get a lot of up-and-comers, like Samoa Joe. They got Big Cap coming back.
Shinsuke
doing that heel turn, which I give all the credit in the world to Bully. He called it before it even happened. And
what did I call before it even happened?
The Nakamura heel turn.
Oh, okay. It's not that I called it. I wouldn't say that I called it. I just thought it was necessary.
Oh, okay. Well, like you said, he has all the attributes of becoming a heel. And I did not believe it until I saw what he did to AJ Styles at WrestleMania. But that's besides the point. What I'm really concerned about is Carmella on the mic, because I feel like she's pausing a lot with her new women's title. And then she's got, do you think there's a future team up between the Iconics and Carmella? And what do you think, who has the stronger roster right now? What do you think that's the stronger roster, Raw or SmackDown?
Wow. Did you say she was pausing too much?
Yeah, my mistake that he was pausing a little bit during a promo.
I gotta tell you, if there's somebody who wowed me the other night on SmackDown, it was Carmella. I thought she did a phenomenal job with her promo. I think she's doing as well of a job in her first couple of weeks as the women's champion on the stick as Alexa is doing.
Wow,
they're coming across very, very well to me. And I gotta tell you also, the iconic duo did a pretty good job too. On the microphone, physically in the ring, they need work, but that's fine. It'll come in time. But they're coming off as those snarky mean girls, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, it's kind of like a Beautiful People 2.0 kind of thing, the way they're coming off, but it works. And I think the iconic duo on the mic is doing a good job. I think Carmella on the mic is doing a good job. So those pauses, those might be deliberate pauses that you're hearing because she's letting the crowd react to her.
And Mike, and thanks for the phone call. I think you're absolutely right. And, you know, Carmella is doing a fine job on the microphone and ring. I think she needs a little work, and again, I can't picture Carmella in the ring with an Asuka or a Charlotte. They would really have to sell me on that, and Carmella would have to improve in the ring for me to buy into it. But on the microphone, I think she's doing a tremendous job.
I think she did a great job. I think the iconic duo did a great job with Charlotte over the past couple of weeks with the promos they've been cutting on her. They've been getting over on the microphone. Now, like, when the physicality happens, it definitely is a little bit lackluster. They have to learn how to bring it a lot more, and I don't think that they're the type of athletes that Charlotte is. So it's like their punches, you know, could use some work. Just their level of physicality. They have to bring it a little more and not be such the dainty girls.
Yeah. And also,
they have to be women wrestlers, not dainty girls.
Yeah, and we're gonna see how that plays out because again, when it comes to Asuka and Charlotte, those are the two best female wrestlers they have on the whole roster. So it's gonna be very, very hard to compete with them. And this is also an opportunity to see more of Becky Lynch. I think Becky Lynch has really been on the back burner for so long. I think she's gonna be somebody that's gonna find herself at the top of the card when it comes to SmackDown. And talking about t-shirts, and he mentioned the hand cup. Mike mentioned a hand cup of a t-shirt. A lot of votes on At Busted Open Radio for a new shirt is That's My Wife. They love the That's My Wife t-shirt. That could be a good t-shirt.
Everybody loves Violetta.
Yeah, Violetta t-shirt. But That's My Wife. Because the stuff you, something you, there's a line bully, and there's a couple of times, just saying, there's a couple, I know you're a Hall of Famer, there's a couple of times you kind of go over that line. And you got to remember, That's My Wife you're talking about.
Wait a minute.
Line.
You told me one time I've gone over the line with your wife.
Not with my wife.
Wait a second, is that
a guilty conscience talking?
No, no,
I'm putting the line.
No, because I think your line is total bull crap. You tell me when I have crossed the line with your wife.
I don't know. Exactly. Explain that line with my wife. I don't know what's going on. Your picture's on the refrigerator all the time.
Put the picture up there.
Bully this and bully that.
Put the picture up there.
Something's going on. 844-796.
It's not my fault that your wife likes them a little thicker.
Oh, boy.
Listen, I'm just saying.
Oh, my God.
I'm thick. I'm a thick boy.
Oh, my God. 844. That's what I wasn't talking about. 844-796-7874. The Stanley Cup playoffs are on SiriusXM. You like that?
Hell of a transition.
Oh, you like it thick? The Stanley Cup playoffs are on SiriusXM tonight at 7 Eastern. The Winnipeg Jets are back in the NHL.
They've been back for like the last like 6 years, maybe even longer than that.
I thought this was like it was 1984 again. The Winnipeg Jets look to win their series in front of their hometown fans as they take on the Minnesota Wilds. I'm a big NHL guy. Hear the game on SiriusXM NHL Network Radio, Channel 91, and on the SiriusXM app.
Your order's up. Here's what we're serving.
Woke up, fell out of bed, dragged a comb across my head. Found the way downstairs and drank a cup. Looking up, I noticed I was late.
like to join us, we can...
All right. Oh, I made it. Yeah, I'm going to take something. Pepto something. Stomach, all types of weird. All right, I'm going to go. Have a good weekend. I'll see you later.